Good evening. Thank you so much for coming, everybody. We are approaching Parshas Vayera, and we are in the middle of a massive war in Eretz Yisrael. Our hearts, our minds are certainly there, and our Torah is there as well. Political action is something that is happening, ironically, more in this country than the military actions happening over in Eretz Yisrael. Personally, it's a little bit of a funny thing. I feel very confident in the IDF. And they're doing their job, and it's a big bracha from Hashem that we have the ability to do that. But the other front in America, that's a very, very different tone. It's a very new battle. There were 35 heads of school in TABC yesterday deciding what the official kind of Orthodox yeshiva response should be towards college after high school. In this day and age, I think Fox News will be in TABC on Monday. The Rabbi Kahn of TABC, the Roshiva, was already interviewed earlier this week. He was on. Roshiva was on. If I'm not mistaken, there's more to come. If I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, there's more to come. And in TABC's emails, there has been, well, obviously, we're saying more Tehillim, and we're doing acts of Chesed. Certain Rebbeim are even being sent to Israel to give Chizuk to Talmidim, either studying in yeshiva or in the army. And then there's this new category of political action that we're emailing about. And in addition to all of those things, we've also put up posters of the kidnapped faces on the walls. Our seniors were rallying in New York. And there's this whole new language of political action. Political action. And this evening I want to ask, what is the Torah's perspective on political action? When we go to a rally to defend Israel, I remember in eighth grade, there was this massive rally, the Second Intifada in Washington, D.C. I'm sure some of you were there, and all the schools went. We all went to Washington, D.C. in the year 2003. It was crazy.
2002.
I graduated 2003, so I don't know. Yes, that year, whatever.
April 2003.
All right, so I was in seventh grade. So that year, it was nuts. The whole world went to Washington, D.C., and there's a lot of pressure to go to this town hall meeting, and there's a lot of call to action right now. So logically, off the cuff, what would you say the Torah's perspective is on getting louder so that the Jewish voice is heard in politics or just in the community? Productive, important, obligation? Let me hear. Yeah, Peter, what do you hear?
If it works, then do it.
Right. If it works.
What was my focus? I remember when I was a kid, it was Russian Jewry.
There it is. Adam always a step in. This guy is good. We're going to talk about Russian Jewry. There's a big machlokes there. Yes, what do you remember as a kid?
Tights was very much.
Rav Tights was against
the
protest for Russian Jewry, Soviet Russia.
Protest every few months.
That's right. That's right.
Because he says it just infuriates the Russians.
That's it. Good. We'll get there. Okay. So, obviously, if you can help, you help. If you can't help, or if you make things worse, so that's not good. So we're going to see both sides of the coin. We're going to connect it to Parshas Vayera by first pointing out that there's the Sefer HaKedesh Yitzchak, a tremendously respected Sefer of someone who had to live through the Spanish Inquisition in the 1400s from Spain. So the Baal HaKedah, as he's known, writes about the evil of Sodom. And he writes, well, there's a difference. He's quoting an earlier source that he refers to as the Choker. And he says, well, there's a difference as between being a Chote versus a Rasha. A Chote, someone who sins, all right, you lost your Yetzirah, he writes. That's not that big of a deal. I mean, not good. You had an urge to violate the Torah, to do something wrong. Yetzirah got a win on you. Okay. All right. That's one category. However, the second category, far more dangerous, is the Russia. That his seichel is just off. His whole ideology is wicked. And that is much more dangerous. He says there are two major differences. So the Baal HaKedah says, listen, a Russia will never regret his wicked actions because that's what he wants it to do. In contrast, a chote, a sinner, once the action is over and his seichel, his logic, kind of regains control of his body, so then he'll say, I can't believe I did that. I feel terrible. Difference number one. Difference number two, someone who is just a chote, you know what? He can be fixed. People who sin, they work on their veros, they work on their yitzhahara, they go to, you know, whether it's a rebbe, a rabbi, a therapy, whatever it might be, there's a way to help them. In contrast, someone who is wicked to the core, there's no hope for that person. Ein lo shum davar mimenu yutchal habriot v'laze ein refuah l'machalaso. He's just totally off. He's not getting better anytime soon. Wow. And stone, in this week's Parsha, was in category number two. The Baal HaKeid explains in this week's Parsha that let's say you have a medina asher badatot ra'ot. The laws are corrupt. Says, look at what stone was. It's not like they just sinned because they had a taiva, a craving for something one time, unique, whatever. But in essence, they were morally good, i.e. the way the world views Hamas, right? Meaning morally, they're fine people, but they have a legitimate issue on their hands. You know, that's kind of like what everyone else thinks Hamas is. You know, those, that's crazy. But the Sodomites, says the Baal HaKeid, they had laws that were so wicked to the core, there was no helping them, i.e. like Hamas, right? Meaning there's an evil ideology. It's not like you can fix these people. It's to the core. They're so ingrained on their upbringing. And you could see it even in America. People who have been educated along those lines, they literally think Israelis are terrorists. They literally think that. It's an amazing chiddush. It's an amazing miracle that there can be people who are taught to be so wicked. It's unbelievable. And here we go. We know that Avram, what does he do? So he, the Ribbono Shel Olam is kind of reflecting on the fact that Sodom is really, 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 really bad. Okay, so what are you going to do if Sodom is really, really, really bad? So the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying that he has a problem on his hands. Namely, the Torah says, Yirchet Chaf, Vayomer Hashem, Zakat Sodom Ba'amora, Ki Rabba, their outcry is great, V'chatasam Ki Chavdam Ode. There's something really bad going on over there. I need to go down and see Hakatsa'akata, the outcry, Haba'a Eli, Asukala, and then I have to destroy them if it's really as bad as it sounds. Vimlo Eda'a, and if not, I'm going to figure something else out. So Rashi says this term, Hakatsa'akasa, is a reference to one particular cry of a young woman. He is referring to the Gemara in Masechah Sanhedrin. Now here is a glimpse of to the morality of the rules of Sodom. Haviyahi Rabisa, there was a young girl, Davaka Mafka Rifsa La'anya. She would give out bread to the poor. The only issue was that was illegal. It was against the law to help poor people, to feed them, to give them bread. So she hid it bechatzva. She would put it in a little bucket or something like that so that no one would detect what she was doing. Igla'i Milsa, the matter became known. I almost don't want to finish the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shafiuha Duvsha, they spread honey all over her. V'ukmua al Igar Shura, and they put her on top of the wall of the town, like the roof of a wall. Asa Zibure, and bees or wasps came. V'achluha. That was the Azaakat, Sodom v'Amora, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, the straw that really, you know, tipped the scale over there. It was that young girl who was just trying to give bread to a poor person and who was cruelly executed because of that heinous crime of trying to feed a poor person bread. V'amarev Yehuda Amarav al Iske Riba. It was that young girl that Hashem really decided that's the straw that breaks the camel's back. Done. Yikes. And you can't help but compare it to the atrocities that were done to our own people, right? Meaning, dare I say, some honey and some bee stings, you know, it doesn't sound as bad as what we're dealing with October 7, 2023, unfortunately, right? It's the same outcry in terms of the wicked, intentionally cruel torture and the innocent young women, stuff like that. But we're talking about that. We're not talking about someone who sinned. We're talking about people who are reshaim. And what happens then? Vayifnu misham. So the malachim turn away from this place. You know, they're on their way to go destroy stone after visiting Avram Avinu. Vayelchu sedoma. But Avram was still hanging out with God. So Avram had his visit. He fed the malachim, you know, and he's approaching God. And we know he's going to daven. He's going to daven on the behalf of Sodom. And this is going to take us to approach number one. Political action pro. Pro-political action. What does Avram do? Says the Sforno, Aval pisha malachim asher shalach lahashchis kvar higiu l'sodom. Listen, it's really pointless. The angels have already been dispatched to destroy Sodom. Mikol makom, nonetheless, Avram odenu omid l'vakesh rachmim v'lamed tzchus. Avram says, now I got to daven for these people and perhaps find a reason to save them. Maybe I give him a la made schus, find a merit, a reason for them not to be destroyed. And these are Gemara's, Gomrim Zuchon Levracha, Afilu Cherv Chada, even a sharp sword, Munachas al Tzavaro, Shel Adam, even if you have a sharp sword against your neck, Al Yimna Atzomir Achim, don't stop davening. Even at the last moment, the end is near, no, you daven. Vechein Mechayavim Isos, even if someone deserves the death penalty, and he's been sentenced to death, then they machsir Mosa, Afilu Arb of Chamesh Bamim. Mishnayos and Sanhedrin say, we always try to get somebody acquitted, lest we have to sentence him to death. Uvilvat sheish mamish b'dvar. As long as there's some substantial claim, something that makes a little bit of sense, we have to do whatever we can. So this is a makor for tefillah. I mean, you never stop davening on one hand, but the second makor is a little different. The second makor that this morning was going, the second Gemara, was not about tefillah, it was about, you know, we'll say social justice. It was about, listen, maybe there's another way to look at this guy. And if there's another way that we can prove this guy innocent, let's try, as long as there's legitimacy of the claim. So I wanted to use this part of the parsha as a springboard to see that at a minimum you can argue Avram was far from passive. He saw there was a global issue, an issue that at the outset did not really pertain to him. And he said, Hashem, why would you destroy the stone? But, you know, so A.B. says no.
No, you're reading, I think you're reading into it.
Yeah, of course I'm reading into it, yeah.
Maybe Avram was out to save. Maybe he felt there has to be somebody good.
Of course, so and there was, of course.
So he's saying, it's not fair, God, to Tisbet Tzadik in Russia.
Right.
Okay, so and Hashem said, okay, I'll listen to you, but there's nobody good.
Right, right. We're saying the same thing, right? No one would claim that Avram was trying to fight for anyone who didn't deserve to be saved. The idea being that Avram was saying, well, let's look at this again. Let's try to figure out maybe another way to look at this, because maybe there are more tzaddikim. So Hashem said, okay, let's go there. Let's play that game. And it turns out there were not, right? No, but the point being that Avram was not going to remain silent until he felt that this was correct.
Until he felt that Hashem was just.
Right, of course.
This is almost the flip side of Yonah.
The flip side of Yonah. Yeah, what do you mean by that? Meaning, whereas
Avram is looking at any way to save people, and he's saying, I don't want to deal with these people. They don't need
this. Very good. There's a whole complex reason there. Yonah, yeah. That's a very nice point Robert's making, though. That, like, you can contrast the response of Avram and Yonah, where like Yonah's running away from, I like that a lot, Robert. But again, at a minimum, I think we learn and get inspired from Avraham's passion for humanity, for his need to feel like everything needs to be right and there can't be a wrongdoing, a crime against humanity, right? And the major Makor and Shas, really two of them, rather similar, for we'll say this concept of get involved, respond to the call to action. So Maseches Rosh Hashanah as well as Tainus. So there were anti-Semitic decrees. So no Torah, no Bris Milah. So they have to violate Shabbos. So Ma'asa, Yehuda ben Shamua v'chaverev. So what do they do, this crowd? Holchu v'natlu eitza mimatranuta matronisa achas. There was a certain woman who had political connections, and all of the Gedolei Romi were always near her. Bottom line is, she had connections in the government. And they understood that she had their ear. So they went to the Matronisa, this woman, and she said, I have advice for you. Bo'u v'avginu b'layla. Go protest at night. And again, the Mefarshim explain, at night it's quiet, you'll be heard in the streets. Halchu v'ifgunu b'layla. So they went. They went to the streets at night. They went into the areas of where the politicians lived, who were making the anti-Semitic decrees. And they cried out, Ei Shemayim, lo acheichem anachnu, are we not your brothers? V'lo b'nei av echad anachnu, do we not all come from the same father? V'lo b'nei eim achas anachnu. I mean, are we no less human? Are you really going to look at us as different than yourselves? Manishtaninu mikol uma v'lashon. And why separate us and isolate us from all the other nations? Sha'atam gozim aleinu gzeirus kashos. You're only making evil decrees against us. Ubitlum. And it worked. They nullified the decrees. So here you have a source in Shas for a political rally. Literally, take the streets, make your rights known, knock on doors, make your voice heard at night. Put up signs of kidnapped people. Show up to Washington. You know, it's a direct flow from this Gemara. Similarly, there's a Gemara Me'ila, Yedzayin, and Manav going into the Tab Yedzayin and Beis. Pamachus Gazra, Malchus Arash, Gzera, Shal Yishamras HaShabbos. Again, anti-Semitic decree, don't keep Shabbos. V'shalo Yamul Es B'neihem, V'shiyivalu Es Nidos, meaning the mikvahs were closed. Amru Miyelech V'yivatel HaGzerot. The Jewish community was saying, who do we have that can help us? Who should we send to Washington, so to speak? Yelech B'shem Bar Yochai. Well, he's got miracles, that guy. Or, you know, and they were picking who should go. And, you know, the father said, I want to go instead of my son. It's dangerous. You know, there's a whole discussion of, you know, which Rebbeim should go. And the Amrlu Rabbi Yossi, Anazin, Rabbi Yossi, I'd rather go than my son go, you know. But here it is in the first Gemara, where there was a need for political action. And we're talking about Tanayim going to plead their case, lobbying on Capitol Hill. So you cannot deny the fact that the Torah wants you to speak up if you can help your case. Like Hashem was essentially begging Avram to daven for Sodom. He said, I can't go through with this without first telling Avram, you know? So Avram had the obligation to mankind, his moral obligation, to speak up. Hashem gave him the permission.
Unlike Noah, who did nothing.
All right. Noach, Ish Tzadik. All right, yeah, the Zohar criticizes Noach. A lot of people say that Noach was not as political as he should have been. And you are right. By the way, when I was researching this topic, people do that exact contrast to make this argument. Exactly like that. But I like to defend Noach's rights. At all.
He was a
Tzadik. I'm always defensive of Noach. But of course, you're right. There is certainly Torah to back what you are saying. So this is the Masorah I grew up with. Because again, I grew up going to Washington, D.C. in 8th grade. I grew up in DRS, you know, Modern Orthodox Zionistic High School. I remember going to the city. I've been to these rallies. Been there. I remember, I've been to also Asifos of Tehillim and at the Kotel in Israel, you know, for davening. But I'm not talking about within the Jewish community. I'm talking about Davka, the secular politicians, you know, fighting on that level. And you know what, by the way, do you know what the sophomore trip was in DRS when I was in DRS? To go to Washington, D.C. And we literally lobbied on behalf of Israel. Worst idea for a sophomore trip. You know, guys are like, we're going bowling and laser tag. And they're like, we're actually going to lobby for Israel. You know? So needless to say, there was a little bit of a flack the school got for that. But me and all the other really cool kids were actually like really excited to like go to Capitol Hill. So that was actually pretty cool. It was cool for even the cool kids. You know why? Because ESPN was there. That's when all the steroid scandals came out. So we're like on Capitol Hill rallying for Israel, like next to like Mark McGuire, and all these like baseball players. And like ESPN cameramen are like up all over the place. And we like recognize them from TV. We're like, this is so cool. We love lobbying. And that's what inspired us to love Israel. You know? So there is a flip side, though. There's a flip side. That's my upbringing. That's my Masorah. However, there's a Masorah. Okay. Hapardes is a journal different rabbis, a good. So we'll take off my kippah sugah for a second, put on my velvet kippah over here. And Rav Moshe Feinstein was not in favor of supporting these protests for the sake of the Jews in Soviet Russia. In the 1980s even, obviously 1980 for sure, but I don't know what year exactly, but we're talking about, we'll say late 70s. Yeah, late 70s, 76, I don't remember the exact year, unfortunately. But ultimately, the idea being, there was a discussion about the Aguda Sarabanim, Bartos Abris, the Canada, Shinsa Es Amidasa Adko, Biachas Lahafgana, a rally, a protest, Neged Bris Hamuatzot, the Soviet Union. So the question on the Aguda was, are you going to change your policy because you've taken a stand to not join this battle, to not join on a political level? And the response, Aguda Sarabanim, Mosifa Lahachsik, Ba'amadasa. We stand strong in our policy that was established with the Gdolei Ador, Rav Aaron Cutler, and the Gdolei Eretz Yisrael. Shelo lakachas chelek pa'il. We should not take an active role in these protests. Shechoshvim ki al yodom ya'azur liyahadus Rusia. That we assume it will aid and help the Jewish community in Russia. Why? Even though they acknowledge the intentions are wonderful, and these organizations have the best interest, the Jews' interest, the best interest in mind. We can't always agree. You know why? Because sometimes the outcomes, chas v'shalom, become dangerous for the Jews over there. Meaning, you think you're doing something right, and your noble intentions, no question about it. But unfortunately, you don't know how it works over there. You rally, and you might be hurting the Jews in Russia. Because right now, okay, so you have certain Russian officials that come off one way, but behind closed doors, they'll let Jews put on their tefillin, they'll let aid be flown in. If you make this a political issue, it's only going to make the matters worse, because then you have to make them take their stand to combat it. So it's almost like, it's not really a rally, it's a counter-protest. And once it's a counter-protest, you're just going to fan the flames. So this is Rav Moshe Feinstein writing. Rav Moshe Feinstein is basically saying, we are davening for the Jews in Russia, and it's a big pain to us, and we want them to be saved, etc. And you can hear the pain and the love, in the words. He says, we're doing everything we can. Here's the key term: be'emtsaim toratiyim. The classical Torah method. We're davening for them, giving tzedakah for them. Again, T-A-B-C Zima, right? On a religious front, we're doing more mitzvos, we're doing more Torah, we're doing more tefillah. And on the religious front, we are fighting that front. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says, in Russia, communist Russia, 1970s, it stops there. We're not joining the political front. But that was one opinion. Shailos HaTshuvos B'nei Banim, unfortunately, again, an amazing sefer written by Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin. I said, unfortunately, because his son, Hashem Yukom Damo, Eitam Henkin, was murdered brutally in a car shooting on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. And it's so amazing to watch the godless of the Henkin family. You can see the way the father writes and the son writes. Rav Eitam was already a tremendous Talmud Chacham who authored Svarim, and he was working on his PhD. And they had such a gift of having such a classical Torah approach on one hand, but being so educated and contemporary on another hand. And their genius combined with their frumkeit is like awe-inspiring. And in the Shailos HaTshuvos B'nei Banim, to Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin, who died 5 years after his son, he has a tshuva about Me'organa HaRabanim Ba'artos HaBris. So they said, Rav Moshe said it's usher to join political rallies and we shouldn't do all this stuff. So he's responding because there's another Jewish organization, quoting the Rav, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, at the time he's writing Shlita, that was pro getting involved politically. You can imagine such a thing. The Rav, was into that. Again, it's complicated, his position. But at least at the time of this writing, the Rav was encouraging certain political active moves. Says Rav Henkin, here it is. Lefi anias daiti. Kevin Shinyan Hafganos, the matter of rallying, protesting, Nilma Meha Gemara. It's in the Gemara already. Virak Tsarach Livdok Lifne Kol Hafgana. You only need to just check before every protest. Haim Titzmach Mimena Toeles Olo. The only thing you need to do is ask yourself, will this protest do anything? Will it accomplish anything or not? It's something you need to do. But don't quote Rav Moshe as telling me it's usher. You can't compare one generation and the next generation when it comes to politics. That's what he writes. He says, you know, times have changed. And he says, it's an Indian b'metzius. And we don't rely on something that was written, lifnei eser shanim. Ki harbe nishtane me'az. Don't compare the plight of the Jews in Soviet Russia with what we're rallying for today in the year 1995 or whatever he's writing. You know, he said, you can't do that. It's not like Rav Moshe Paskind, objectively, that rallying is usher. He didn't say, and he even proves it from another tshuva of Rav Moshe. Wow. So it should be noted there's a lot of halacha about protesting within the Jewish community. If you see, there are averos and stuff like that. I'm dafka not talking about that. That's pashut. There's the literature in the mitzvah of tochacha. I'm specifically talking about getting involved on the global sphere. Jews meeting with non-Jewish politicians, stuff like that. So Rav Henkin says, it's case by case. You have to ask yourself, is it productive or not? But at a minimum, it's obviously mutter. And here, I want to just kind of point out the flip side until now, they're pretty kind of pro. But there is an example of where it's just pointless. There's just an example where it's pointless. What else happens to this parasha? Sarah is abducted by Avimelech. And Avimelech finds out that Avram was really Sarah's husband. Vayikra Avimelech Avram, Vayomer Lamasi Talenu. What'd you do to me, to us? What I do to you? This great sin. What are you setting me up to fail and sleep with a married woman? What did you see? Kesi says hadavar hazeh. There's no fear of God in this place. They would have killed me if I would have said that she was my husband. She was my wife. If you would have known that I was married to her, you would have killed me. Guarantee it. So what's the deeper explanation behind that machlokas? The Radak says, essentially, Avimelech was asking, well, clearly you would have spoken up, meaning you wouldn't have let this happen. You wouldn't have stood by unless there was a good reason. Why did you choose that course of action? And what's the answer, Avram? There was no point. There was no point. And sometimes people get so fired up with the modern day politics. Do you think there's a point of a counter protest? Do you think that you can honestly, prove someone who's pro-Palestinian that they're wrong? So sometimes if someone's on the fence, okay. But, someone who has an agenda or just the brainwashed education to tear down a sign of a kid who's kidnapped, you think there's any argument in the world that can convince them? Like, are you Ain Yirat Elokim Makom Hazeh? There, I could have spoken to you until you blew in the face, Avimelech, but your society is corrupt to the bone, like Sodom. It's not just like you guys are Chataim, you're Rishaim. I mean, you don't have the sauce over here. You guys are bums. So the Sforno says it a little bit more chillingly. Why? He says Ain Moda Malchus. You want to defend yourself, that's fine, but they don't care about what you have to say. The people are corrupt. So we can speak on a political sphere, we'll call for peace, but your people don't respect you, by the way. Your people don't respect you. And the Sforno explains how, whatever, the Plishti, monarchy worked back then, whatever, they weren't Malachim Gemur. But ultimately, I'm using this to support the other side of the coin. That who are you kidding? Number one, let's say you convince a politician, right? So here, what's the most ironic part about what we're going through right now? President Biden, pro-Israel. House of Representatives just said yes to $14 billion to aid. It's great. You have a lot of very high officials who are saying the most pro-Israel sentiment statements. Yet, who cares? Who cares? Who cares, right? Meaning, politics is not the whole game. It's not the whole game. And again, I hate to say it, but when you think about the Crusades, so you had a German government that was defending Jews. And who rioted? A bunch of angry mobs that didn't care about what the German government had to say. Right? Meaning, there's no Yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh. It's a very scary, frightening thought, Avram says. Ein Yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh. You want to talk politics? Halavai, everyone was such a politician. People who corner a student at Harvard campus, they surround him, they bang on the library doors of a campus that we know. You call those politicians, you call those fine, refined Americans, American values, you know. What are you, nuts? Even the language alone is ridiculous. The language alone. It's just like these people are not, they don't qualify. So thank you, President Biden. Thank you, Fox News. But like, what's the point of all this stuff? So you have to not get too, right, now let's swing back for a second. I spent 80% of this year encouraging everybody, you know, rah, rah, politics. And then I just went the other way. I don't want anyone to forget the first half of this year. I don't want anyone to be skeptical or, too, we'll say, negative on this issue, because how do politicians work? What's the secret over here? What's in it for me? Right? What does the Mishnah Pirkei Avos say? Don't get too close to politicians. Why not? Because they just care about their seat. So you know what? Yeah, that's it. Pirkei Avos, Aleph Yud. V'atis vadak l'rashus, right? Don't trust the government. Why? Because Rashi explains the in makarvin lo la'adim elo l'tzorach atzman. They need you. So forget morality. Forget standards. If the politicians know our opinion, so they know where our votes are, right? Meaning if they, at a minimum, even if it's mamash shalo lishma. So that's one very practical piece of advice, right? Meaning if we have the self-interest of a politician, that's already valuable, right? So the only thing is like this. Again, I don't want to speak so negatively. It's not my style. But again, even if you want to pretend like none of this actually matters, I'm proving that it even does matter, right? Meaning if politicians really even don't care, they, at least at a minimum, they care about your vote. And if they know there's a big, loud Jewish community, they're going to care at least because of that. That makes sense or not? Yeah, making sense? Yeah? No? Right? Good argument? All right. But the truth is, people do care. All you have to do is meet Malcolm Hohenlein once. And I was like, yeah, I called President George W. Bush and I told him to send in the troops. And he listened and I saved, this amount of Jews. You know, I grew up in Jamaica States with Dr. Joey Frager. You know, he takes these politicians to Israel. And people who are in the game will tell you, no, it matters. It really does matter. And I remember just lobbying in Washington as a 10th grader, and being surprised how much they actually listen to us. Like, why do these people care what we have to say? We're 10th graders from Long Island. And the truth is, you know, real politicians, they listen. They listen, they care. And again, let's assume for a second that these people are good and they're legitimate. There is another Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says, the Midas still might be the person who says, Sheli, Sheli, V'shelcha, Shelcha. What? Mine is mine, it's yours. Which means that it's a machlokas, but that might be Midas still. Which means if you only care about your personal world, I do my thing, you do your thing, and we don't really cross paths ever, that might be the enemy, ironically. Meaning, to be so self-centered to the exclusion of thinking about how to help the broader society, it's not a Jewish value. Not a Jewish value. The Torah value is to think about how to help Klal Yisrael. So sometimes that means within Klal Yisrael, how to help Klal Yisrael. Just this evening, a Rav in Eretz Yisrael was talking to me about how to raise money to provide food for people where all the husbands are in war. And he said, you can't imagine, just $1,000 will feed families for a week. And that's within the Jewish community, just chesed as we know and love it, tefillah, chesed. But yes, seemingly sometimes that means to look beyond our own little sphere, to not be so obsessed with shali, shali, shalcha, shalcha. Sometimes we need to look beyond our own dalaramos and get involved, and we should all be zocha to know our place, not be too silent in this unique circumstance. And again, I think calling Fox News, thanking them, stuff like that is something that is certainly on my mind personally. Just to even thank them. You know, I'm excited. Fox News is in TABC on Monday. I want to tell my Talmidim, get the rose petals. Get the rose petals for these people. Their mom is saving they're saving lives. And when you see the New York Times made up that crazy thing, you know, with the the hospital bombing, it almost led to blood. It almost led to blood. It was really close to leading to blood. So, again, my conclusion is this stuff is important, and it can save lives. And if we're not loud enough, it can, unfortunately, cost lives. We should all be zoche to know our place in the Beis Medrash, in our tefillah, and beyond.